Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Time for our weekly sports roundup as we welcome Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubank. And starting with Lions, winners against Jacksonville, but it didn't come easy, did it?
It did not come easy. Most games in the NFL don't. I recall talking to Larry Foote, who's an All-American at Michigan who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers and won some rings over there. He said most NFL games boil down to three or four plays, and if you make them, you win. If you don't, you lose. And the Lions have been finding ways to make those plays.
And making it happen. So do you see some true momentum that could get them to the playoffs? I mean, are Matt Stafford and the Lions playoff caliber?
In the NFL, 6-4 might well be playoff caliber. Of course, Michigan right now is 10-1, so is Ohio State. That's what you have to be in the college playoff. In the NFL playoffs, 9-7, you've got a great season going. So they're good enough. I mean, right now they are. So we'll see what happens there. But when you win two out of three games, if you're great, there's no momentum in the NFL. It's just game by game by game.
So we've got the Vikings calling on Thanksgiving Day. So are you seeing fans heading home for Thanksgiving feeling happy and thankful or grumpy?
According to my stats, they've got a 47% chance of feeling happy.
Okay.
The Lions, historically, on Thanksgiving Day, going back to 1934, which, by the way, predates the national holiday of Thanksgiving. FDR fixed it, the fourth Thursday in November, of course. They are 36-38-2 on Thanksgiving Day, which is better than their overall percentage. So
there's
coin
the stats.
Toss.
There
and,
you go.
And the Vikings are also 6-4. They're about the same.
Okay, so we'll have that to look forward to. And then let's get back to college football, which we often dig into, starting with the Spartans against Ohio State. What can fans take away from that 17-16 loss?
What we've been saying all year long, they are not a 3-8 team. This team was 12-2 last year. They had a lot of important players graduate. They might have been overachieving, but they were not overachieving by that much. They've been a sleeping giant all year, and they proved it on Saturday against Ohio State. They could have won that game.
They were a lot chippier than we've seen earlier in the season. So what's changing? What's happening as this awful season gets a little less awful?
I think they're largely just getting out of their own way, frankly. And that's the biggest enemy Michigan State has been Michigan State all season long. In the locker room, on the field, the coaching staff. It has not been love and friendship. So they got to get that sorted out. Maybe they are now. And they've got a chance, by the way, to do some real damage this coming Saturday. They're playing Penn State. If Penn State wins out and Ohio State beats Michigan, Penn State actually will be the Eastern Division champion, which seems crazy, but there they are. So the Buckeyes have become huge Michigan State fans this weekend.
And let's go over to the Buckeyes, because here we have it. Next Saturday is the game. Now, we've got Michigan having come in from that win over Indiana, but how much is this team missing Wilton Spate and his injured collarbone?
My take is, if he's not going to play in the game, their chances of winning go way down. It's just all there is to it.
And what's at stake for both Ohio State and Michigan?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. And this is like the old time. I mean, we've not seen this in 10 years. When I was growing up in the 70s, it was always everything in most of the 80s and most of the 90s. And it's not been that in almost a decade. So you have to go back to 2006 when Ohio State was number one and Michigan was number two, undefeated, to see this level of stakes and pressure. So this will be a fun one. And even the Buckeyes are all geared up, which they've not been in a while, taking it for granted. So it should be fun.
All right. And finally, Wolverine fans have just marked the 10th anniversary of the passing of Bo Schembechler. And it certainly seems, from what I'm reading on social media, people can't believe it's been 10 years. I know you and Bo co-authored his book, Bo's Lasting Lessons. Is there a story you can share with us that about Bo that really sums up the man you knew?
I asked him in September of 2005, which is about 14 months before he passed away. If you had one more week at the height of your powers, what would you ask for? And Bo says, well, Bacon, for once you asked a good question, I got to think about this one. So he thinks about it and says, I don't want another banquet. I don't want another TV interview. I don't care about that stuff. I want my wife in town. I want my kids around me. And one more week in preparation for the Buckeyes of Ohio State. That would be wonderful. We get against the great General Wayne Woodrow Hayes across the field. That'd be fantastic. And he then launched on a 10 or 15 minute soliloquy about what they would do every single day in preparation for that game with great love and affection. I mean, he still had the whole schedule down cold. And then he closed by saying, on Friday night, if I knew we were ready, and I mean Michigan ready, I could go back to my room at the Campus Inn, sit in the corner of my bed, and just go, ah, and I'd be satisfied. Because if you're a real coach, a real leader, a real parent, your job is to get your people ready to do their jobs. And once you've gotten them there, it's up to them to do what's next. And if they come through, They get all the credit for it, not you. That's how it's supposed to go. And that is exactly what Bo did 14 months later. He gave the pregame speech on Thursday night, which is when they do it. Friday morning, he passes away. The next day, they play Ohio State.
Quite a story, and it's worth checking back with your book, Bo's Lasting Lessons. The legendary coach teaches the timeless fundamentals of leadership. Michigan Radio sports commentator, John Eubank. Thanks, John.
Thank you.